Both instances, at the Trinity test site in 1945 and at San Salvador in 1492, those moments of achievement crowned years of intense personal struggle and adventure for their protagonists and were culminating points of ingenious technological achievement for their countries. But both instances were also prelude to orgies of human destructiveness that, each in its own way, attained a scale of devastation not previously witnessed in the entire history of the world. Just 21 days after the first atomic test in the desert, the Japanese industrial city of Hiroshima was leveled by a nuclear blast. Never before had so many people, at least 130,000, probably many more, died from a single explosion. Just 21 years after Columbus's first landing in the Caribbean, the vastly populous island that the explorer had renamed Hispaniola was effectively desolate. Nearly 8 million people, those Columbus chose to call Indians, had been killed by violence, disease, and despair. It took a little longer, about the span of a single human generation, but what happened on Hispaniola was the equivalent of more than 50 Hiroshimas. And Hispaniola was only the beginning. Within no more than a handful of generations following their first encounters with Europeans, the vast majority of the Western Hemisphere's native peoples had been exterminated. The pace and magnitude of their obliteration varied from place to place and from time to time, but for years now, historical demographers have been uncovering, in region upon region, post-Columbian depopulation rates of between 90 and 98% with such regularity that an overall decline of 95% has become a working rule of thumb. What this means is that, on average, for every 20 natives alive at the moment of European contact, when the lands of the Americas teemed with numerous tens of millions of people, only one stood in their place when the bloodbath was over. To put this in a contemporary context, the ratio of native survivorship in the Americas following European contact was less than half of what the human survivorship ratio would be in the United States today if every single white person and every single black person died. The destruction of the Indians of the Americas was far and away the most massive act of genocide in the history of the world. That is why, as one historian aptly has said, far from the heroic and romantic heraldry that customarily is used to symbolize the European settlement of the Americas, the emblem most congruent with reality would be a pyramid of skulls. Scholarly estimates of the size of the post-Columbian Holocaust have climbed sharply in recent decades. Too often, however, academic discussions of this ghastly event have reduced the devastated indigenous peoples and their cultures to statistical calculations in recondite demographic analyses. It is easy for this to happen. From the very beginning, merely taking the account of so mammoth a cataclysm seemed an impossible task, wrote one Spanish adventurer who arrived in the New World only 2 decades after Columbus's first landing, and who himself openly reveled in the torrent of native blood. There was neither paper nor time enough to tell all that the conquistadors did to ruin the Indians and rob them and destroy the land. As a result, the very effort to describe the disaster's overwhelming magnitude has tended to obliterate the historical sense of this truly horrific human element. In an apparent effort to counteract this tendency, one writer, Tsvetan Todorov, begins his study of the events of 1492 and immediately thereafter with an epigraph from Diego de Landa's Relación de las Cosas de Yucatán. The captain, Alonso López de Ávila, brother-in-law of the Adelantado Montejo, captured, during the war in Bacalan, a young Indian woman of lovely and gracious appearance. She had promised her husband, fearful lest they should kill him in the war, not to have relations with any other man but him, and so no persuasion was sufficient to prevent her from taking her own life to avoid being defiled by another man, and because of this, they had her thrown to the dogs. Todorov then dedicates this book to the memory of a Mayan woman devoured by dogs. It is important to try to hold in mind an image of that woman, and her brothers and sisters, and the innumerable